Hello, everyone. I would like to thank the organizers for giving me the opportunity to present today. I will talk about the adiabatic in spiral and the transition to plunge in extreme mass ratio in spirals. And this is based on my first paper with my supervisor, Geoffrey Compère, in Brussels. So the system I consider is an emery within GR. That is a system composed of a supermassive Kerr black hole of mass m and spin j, and the stellar mass compact companion of mass mu and spin sigma. And the system is characterized by a small mass ratio eta. And I will neglect the structure and the spin of the secondary object, which in principle moves on eccentric and inclined orbits, but I will restrict the analysis to an in spiral which occurs on quasi-circular orbits in the equatorial plane. So from large orbital separations up to the innermost stable circular orbit or ISCO of the supermassive black hole, the motion is what we call the in spiral, which occurs on the radiation reaction timescale and is described by a slow timescale expansion, which breaks down as the ISCO radius is reached. So across the ISCO, we need a different treatment, which is the transition to plunge, which occurs on a different timescale. And the treatment we use for the transition needs to match smoothly onto the slow timescale expansion of the in spiral. So among others, the transition to plunge has been studied in the small mass ratio regime by Ori and Thorne in 2000 and Kesden in 2011, where they found the leading order equations that govern the transition, neglecting self-force corrections. And they also found that quasi-circular motion in the transition regime is inconsistent with the normalization of the four velocity. So what I will talk about today is I consider the in spiral at leading order or adiabatic order, including all the self-force effects, in such a way that it can match smoothly onto something non-quasi-circular in the transition region. I will also consider the transition, including all the self-force effects. And finally, I will match the two in their overlapping region using a matched asymptotic expansion scheme. So in order to describe force geodesic motion in the equatorial plane, I will need the following ingredients. So the trajectory can be parameterized in this way. Omega is the angular velocity and u is the redshift given in terms of the energy and the angular momentum. I will consider the normalization of the four velocity, the radial geodesic equation, including the radial self-force. Then we will need the flux balance equations for the energy and the angular momentum, which are driven by the T and phi directed self forces. And these two equations are equivalent to the T and phi geodesic equation. Then we will need the orthogonality condition between the self force and the four velocity, which can be expressed in this way. And finally, we need to define this function delta, which is the deviation from an angular velocity on circular equatorial orbits, which we denote by omega geo. And given this definition, we can write the angular velocity either in this way, where now this deviation function delta appears in the denominator, or in general as a function of a black hole spin, the energy, the angular momentum, and the radial coordinate. So the adiabatic in spiral occurs on the radiation reaction timescale, and therefore we expand our dynamical variables using a so-called slow timescale expansion, which is an expansion in integer powers of the small mass ratio, where each term in this expansion is a function of the slow proper time, tau tilde, which is defined as the small mass ratio times the proper time, tau. And consistently with the flux balance equations and the orthogonality condition, we can perform a similar expansion also for the T, phi, and R-directed self force, where the R-directed self force in principle admits a zeroth order term in the small mass ratio expansion. And given that we consider motion in the equatorial plane, the theta-directed self-force will be zero. Now we consider the equations for the angular velocity, the normalization of the four velocity and the radial geodesic equation, and the equation for the redshift. And substituting the slow timescale expansion, we get at zeroth order in the mass ratio some algebraic equations, which you can solve to determine the adiabatic redshift, energy, angular momentum, and also the angular velocity, which now contains this deviation from the angular velocity on a circular equatorial orbit. And this is connected to the presence of a zeroth order radial self force in this way. So just to clarify what I mean by quasi-circular motion is that the adiabatic in spiral is not quasi-circular in the sense that it is not described by an angular velocity, circular angular velocity. However, it is quasi-circular in the sense that this ratio between the radial motion and the orbital motion is very small due to the typical separation of time scales in MRIs. And this leads us to think that this deviation delta zero will probably be a small correction throughout the spiral, but nonetheless, it will be necessary to correctly match with the transition motion. So now we can look at the equations of motion. From the orthogonality condition, we get that the black hole spin is constant at the adiabatic order, and the flux balance equations provide us with differential equations for the adiabatic radius and the deviation from a circular geodesic angular velocity. So the solution to these equations of motion in the limit we're interested in, that is towards the innermost stable circular orbit, are compatible with an expansion in half integer powers of tau tilde star, which is the ISCO crossing time minus tau tilde. And so here we have a solution for the angular momentum, the energy, the radius, the deviation from circularity delta zero, and therefore also for the radial self force. And this solution is determined up to three free parameters, which will be fixed by matching with the transition motion. We see that this delta zero vanishes at the ISCO, and therefore there will be a pole on the right-hand side of the equations of motion. And therefore the slow timescale expansion breaks down at the ISCO. And there we will need a different treatment, which is the transition to plunge, for which we use a transition timescale expansion. And we define the proper transition time, which is this S, defined as the mass ratio to the power 1/5 times this difference. And we expand the radius, the angular momentum, and the energy using their scaling with the small mass ratio in the transition regime. And these functions R, Xi, and Y, which themselves, we expand them in powers of the mass ratio to the 1/5. And considering the first term in this series, gives us the leading order transition. And in particular, this function y encodes the deviation from a circular motion in the transition. We also assume a similar expansion for the black hole spin. The radial self force enters at order mass to mass ratio to the power 4/5 in this way, where epsilon star and zeta star are coefficients at the ISCO. We can also, by comparing these equivalent definitions of the angular velocity, compute the function delta, so the deviation from a circular geodesic angular velocity in the transition. And this also enters at order the mass ratio to the power 4/5. So now we can look at the equations of motion. We consider the normalization of the Fourier velocity, the radial geodesic equation. And by comparing the two, we also have an expression for the radial self force. Substituting the transition timescale expansion into these equations, we get at the lowest orders in the mass ratio some algebraic equations that fix the energy and the angular momentum at the ISCO. And they also set the first six corrections to the black hole spin to zero, and this matches with the constancy of the spin we have found in the spiral. Then at higher order in the mass ratio, we get the transition equations for the radial motion and for this y0, which encodes the non-circularity. And these equations have the same structure as those that were found by Ori, Thorne, and Kasdan, but now the self-force enters through these coefficients epsilon 0 and zeta 0. In particular, this second-order equation for the radial motion is a Panleve transcendent equation of the first kind. And we use its asymptotic behavior at early times, where the transition is supposed to match with the in spiral in order to get the solution of the transition motion, which again can be written as a series in half integer powers of this difference. So the transition crossing at the ISCO crossing time minus tau. So we have considered the motion in the in spiral and its limit towards the innermost stable circular orbit. We have considered the transition motion and the solution to the equations of motion at early times. Now the two have their region of validity and they overlap in this region here where we can perform the match. So on the left-hand side, we have the solution for the radius and the angular momentum for the spiral. On the right-hand side, we have the same for the transition. And by comparing these, we can match the fix the three coefficients of the spiral. And with these coefficients fixed, we can also see that the energy and the deviation from circularity delta zero will match between the spiral and the transition. And we also get the behavior in the, close to the ISCO of this zeroth order radial cell force, which is a linear behavior. So what we have done is we have performed an exact match of the adiabatic quasi-circular spiral with the transition motion. And we have done this at leading order in the small mass ratio expansion. We have seen that an spiral described by circular geodesic angular velocity does not match the transition motion, but we need a deviation from it, which is encoded in this delta zero, which again is related to the presence of a zeroth order radial cell force in the small mass ratio expansion. We don't know much about this zeroth order radial cell force apart from its general behavior. So we expect it to vanish at very early times where the orbits are perfectly circular. We know its behavior close to the ISCO, so it vanishes linearly at the ISCO. And also as this tau tilde, I recall, is the mass ratio times tau, we see that when the mass ratio vanishes, then the cell force will be zero and geodesic motion is recovered. Finally, we've also seen that the Pandeve transcendent equation governs the motion in the transition regime, even in the presence of cell force corrections. And this builds on previous results by Ori, Thorne, and Kesden in the small mass ratio regime, and by Buonanno and Damour in the equal mass ratio regime. So what remains to be done, and we are continuing to work on, is to get the general structure of the matching at subleading orders and to explicitly match the post-1 adiabatic in spiral to understand better where this zeroth order radial cell force comes from and to extend the analysis to eccentric and non-equatorial in spirals. And thank you for listening.
Thank you. So we have a question from Bernard, please.
Okay, thanks very much. That's very interesting. I just had a quick question about one of your last comments. I didn't quite understand why the radial cell force would go to zero at the ISCO. Surely at the ISCO, it's about to go into plunge instead of a circular orbit, and so you would expect the radial cell force to be rather non-trivial.
We know that this radial cell force should be a small correction throughout the spiral. It probably grows somehow across the ISCO, but on the, let's say, on the geodesic ISCO, it will vanish. But there will be also corrections at higher order in the mass ratio to this function delta. So there will be a delta one at order the mass ratio to the power one, where this might not vanish.
Okay, we have another question from Olli, please.
Hey, that was an awesome talk. Thank you so much. I was just curious whether you were thinking of also extending this to take into account near extreme black holes, because near extreme black holes have got quite a rich transition from spiral to plunge, as Geoffrey definitely knows. So I'm curious if you guys were thinking about this.
So for now, we were not thinking about this yet. So the first thing we wanted to do is to have a consistent match at all orders in the mass ratio. But definitely, once this is done, this could be something we could look at, given also Geoffrey's expertise.
Okay, brilliant. Thanks.
Thank you.